Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up your holy name. We come, Lord, hallelujah, tonight to honor you, to praise you, call on your great name. Lord, thank you for the authority that is in your name. Thank you for the grace that has been poured out. And Lord, we thank you for opening up the doors of heaven for your people, that we might have the ability to experience your presence. Lord, bless one by one those who gather in your name tonight. And Lord, for those who are not able to join, who are otherwise occupied, let your glory and your grace be on them. Lord, it is because of your grace and your mercy that we have another opportunity to be with you and our brothers and sisters on this Bread of Heaven call. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a name that we can call on and we can fight with, Lord. Thank you for the measure of health and strength, Lord, hallelujah, that you have given to us. Lord, thank you for knowing us, for seeing us, for knowing every hair on our head, for knowing the thoughts we think before we think them. And Lord, hallelujah, for being the end, be able to see the end from the beginning, Lord. So our confidence is in you. Hallelujah, not in our own sight. So Lord, oh, you are an awesome God, and we thank you. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. You are indeed, hallelujah, our shield and exceeding great reward. Your name has always been a strong tower, and the righteous can run to it and be saved. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name. Oh, Lord, we lift you up. Thank you for the new song we have. Thank you for joy unspeakable, Lord. Thank you for the song in the night seasons, Lord. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for being with us. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for being a God who listens and hearkens to our cry. Thank you, Lord, that we're able, hallelujah, to come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord. And you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our frailty, Lord. Lord, thank you for your healing power. Lord, there is balm in Gilead. There's healing in the church. There's healing in your name. And Lord, we thank you. Well, Lord, thank you for today's activity. Hallelujah. Whether it was in leisure, whether it was in work, Lord, whether it was in running errands, Lord, phone calls, whatever it was, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for giving us, Lord, hallelujah, our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah, so that we can have fellowship, that, Lord, you will provide us the fellowship that we need as human beings to be able, hallelujah, to have joyful days, hallelujah, to have fruitful days. And Lord, we are glad about it. Lord, bless, Lord, the families that are represented on the call. Bless Brother Maxwell's father who has had to go to the hospital today. And Lord, we ask that you enter the room where he is. Lord, we understand he went through the emergency room and he has been admitted. And Lord, you know. Lord, you made him. You know everything about him. You're a healer and a strengthener. And Lord, we ask that you bless and that you strengthen and that you heal and that you bring to perfect soundness in his body, Brother Maxwell's dad. Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you do it. We're asking in authority. We're asking, hallelujah, not worried. We ask, hallelujah, in confidence, Lord. We ask, Lord, hallelujah, because we have a relationship with you and we can come boldly to your throne. We realize it's a throne of grace, not an entitlement. But Lord, it's a blessing, hallelujah, to call out Brother Maxwell's father and to put him on the throne of grace and let you do your wonderful work. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Tonight I'm going to talk from a topic I've talked to you before, and the Lord impressed it on my heart between last week and this week. And so we'll get to it in a second. I'm going to cover something very briefly over the last 3 weeks. The last three times we were together, the Lord has blessed us to have a blessed time, some unique topics. So on December 23rd, which was a Monday, the topic was we celebrate Christmas because, and we had three reasons. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love for us. And three, Jesus died to set us free. Then we skipped the week right around New Year's. And then on January the 8th, our topic was storms. We had a good discussion. Many of the people talked about early in the lesson biblical characters who had gone through storms. Last week, we talked about the race set before us. And at the beginning of the class, we asked about biblical characters who had had a moment of truth or a showtime experience. We had some really good discussion on that. We talked also in running the race, we talked about the relay races, the acceleration zone, the exchange zone. We talked also toward the end of the lesson about a song that had been on my heart because it's a song my daughter-in-law, my son's widow, sings so beautifully. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then I went on and did some research and looked at the story behind that song and how it originated in India, where some missionaries had gone there and one family had gotten saved and they were threatened, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't a song. It was this martyr, this man who he and his family were killed for the sake of Jesus. His testimony, his answer to the questions that they made, it's no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, so forth. And it really did something for me. That story, that illustration. Tonight, we're going to talk about covered and uncovered. Can anybody on the call, and we're not going to prolong it, we're not going to hold it, think of a biblical character who was either covered or uncovered or both? Hallelujah. I'll give you one. Jonah, when he finally convinced those guys to throw him overboard because of that storm that had arisen because of his disobedience, they threw him overboard. You can't get more uncovered than that. In the middle of a raging sea, thrown overboard, no ship, no life, what you call that thing, a vest or anything, no scuba equipment. They just threw him over. But the word says God prepared a great fish that swallowed him. And the fish covered him for 3 days and three nights in the deep at the bottom of the sea. And then he spat him up on to dry land. I'm going to go on to the lesson. Genesis chapter 9. We pick it up after the flood, after the waters had subsided. Jonah had become a farmer. One version says a man of the soil. I love that. And he had planted a vineyard. And he decided to taste his own products. And he got drunk. And we'll hear what happens. I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but we're going to start at verse 20. Genesis 9, verse 20. The topic is covered and uncovered. Now, I think without you even hearing this story, you're probably familiar with it. You know what it means to be covered and uncovered, to be secure or to be exposed. I tell this story sometime before we read the scripture of being a little boy living in the Preston Taylor housing projects in Nashville, being 7, 8 years old. And I'm the third of four children, two boys in the middle, and the girls were the oldest and the youngest. And sadly, it's just me and my brother left, my older brother. And anyway, back then it was all of us, mom and dad and everything. They sent us to bed at a certain time. And we'd go to bed, and sometimes they would stay in the living room, talk, have the TV turned down low. I don't know what they're watching, the news or whatever. And I couldn't make out anything, although I tried. I tried to hear what they were talking about. I could barely hear just a very faint thing of my mother's voice. Not at all. But my dad had this deep voice, and I could hear the rumble of his voice. And because of the rumble of his voice, I wasn't worried about the boogeyman. Because of the rumble of his voice, I wasn't scared about nighttime stuff that kids are often scared. I wasn't afraid of the dark because I could hear the rumble of my dad's voice. I felt covered. I felt fathered. All right. All right. So here in Genesis 9:20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. That's a nice way of saying he was butt naked. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He saw the nakedness, and then he told his brother, you know, as if it were something he didn't have any qualms about embarrassing his dad. And Shem and Japheth, the other two brothers, took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward away from their dad, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be he be unto his brethren. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now think about it. This was embarrassing. Jonah, no doubt, was upset with his son, Ham. But he was twice as covered as he was uncovered. Three sons, one did not cover him, two did. One of the lessons from this we learn is that we're at least twice as covered as we are uncovered. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. That means two-thirds remain with God. We're at least twice as covered. Also, we learn from this a couple of points, two related points. I'm going to have 4 points, but two related points. First one, you already heard it. We're at least twice as covered. And the second one, the blessing or even the miracle often takes place when we are uncovered. Hallelujah. How many times in your life have you been uncovered? Perhaps through somebody else's doing, somebody exposing your business behind your back, or because of your own conduct, you were found uncovered in a compromising situation. Hallelujah. Maybe you ended up in an embarrassing situation, or maybe your bank account was overdrawn. Maybe you got fired. Maybe you got something happened in your family. Maybe something happened that was your fault. Maybe you had a responsibility and you didn't fulfill it. Maybe you got caught up in something that was embarrassing. You were uncovered. Hallelujah. Maybe it's just a lifestyle of not knowing who the Lord is. Hallelujah. And then through grace, almost miraculously, certainly undeservedly, God covered you one day. Hallelujah. It's similar to the scripture when Jesus says, those that are whole don't need a physician. Hallelujah. And so you when you get uncovered, that's when you need the covering. And the covering comes, hallelujah, at opportune times in our lives. And we cannot earn it. We can't deserve it. We sure do need it. And when we are weak, the Lord Jesus, this grace is sufficient and his strength is perfected in our weakness. His strength covers our weakness. And you know the story of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. And they Saul and Jonathan had been killed, and a lot of the other relatives had been wiped out. And David said, can I do a kindness for the house of Saul, for Jonathan's sake? And they talked about Mephibosheth, who was lame on his feet, and he was in a place of no communication called Lodebar, hallelujah. But if he had not been uncovered, if he had not been fatherless, there never would have been any need for David to bring him into the palace and to take care of him and to restore his lands. So the miracle, the blessing, often flows out at the place where we need it the most, the place where we are uncovered. Hallelujah. I even think about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took his body, or else it could have been tossed on a burning trash heap. His body was naked. They wrapped it in linen cloth strips, and they buried him, as they say, in a new grave where no man had been. It's a borrowed grave. It is a grave in a cave in a garden. And a stone was put on the thing, and then they came. And then I'm skipping ahead a little bit. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, we find like I said, I'm coming out of order a little bit. Bear with me. So, not 19th chapter, 20th chapter of John. First day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre or the tomb. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We know that is John the Beloved, John the Apostle. And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And you can hear the urgency of it because she ran to them. She's panicking. Where's the body? Hallelujah. Somebody's taking his body. But they're going to see the way the grave clothes are situated and know that no grave robber would ever unwrap a body and then neatly fold the napkin over his face over to the side. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together and to the other disciple, John, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and see if the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Some other version says folded by itself. They went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. He knew the body hadn't been stolen because of the way the grave clothes had been laid and neatly set aside. What happened in that tomb? We don't know. But at some point, the body of Jesus became uncovered and he rose. Hallelujah. My second point, hallelujah. Sometimes the blessing or the miracle comes at the point where we are uncovered. The brash has accused this of being my favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I talk about when we had the blessing last Saturday of praying with Sister Nia Baker, I talked to her I just read this one scripture because previously Elder Brash had covered other scriptures with her. And I talked about the double exchange. And every time I talk about it, I get excited. For he hath made him to be sin for us. That's part of the exchange, that Jesus shed his blood for our sins. Hallelujah. That's a good deal for us, right? His blood for our sins. Second part of the exchange, and as it said, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That he gives us his righteousness in exchange for our filthy rags. Because Isaiah 64 said, our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And so we present all we get when we're not saved is our filthy rags of sinners. And then he gives us his righteousness. And the first part of that speaks of the baptism in Jesus' name. Because it's through the calling of the name of Jesus that we get the blood applied, appropriate, the blood that was shed already, but we get the benefit of it by calling on the name of Jesus and going in the waters of baptism, be baptized in his name, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. The filthy rags of what we, all the times we were uncovered. Hallelujah. We get to exchange that by God's grace for his very own righteousness. We're talking about covered and uncovered. We've covered two of the points. We've covered two of the scriptures. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train, which can be translated his robe, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or two, he covered his face, and with twain or two, he covered his feet, and with twain or two, he did fly. What do you see there? Six wings, four of them covered, two uncovered, twice as covered as uncovered. And what happens with the ones that were uncovered? The miracle of flight, the blessing of flight.
Hallelujah.
And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah. They're praising God. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Bread of heaven, when we come to church Sunday, let's believe that God might smoke that place up with his Shekinah glory. Let's just act like we believe God's going to do it. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. But that wasn't bad enough. I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. I have unclean lips, and I come from people with unclean. I'm among a people with unclean lips. In other words, I ain't got no hope unless you help me. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The unclean lips represents, in terms of what I'm trying to get across tonight, the idea of being uncovered, needing his lips covered, needing his mouth covered. Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Hallelujah. His unclean lip got covered. Hallelujah. Through the action expressed here in the scripture. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? As to that scripture we read from 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says that he that knew no sin became sin for us, and that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The third point, hallelujah, we live our lives under cover of righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my Lord. I told you about Jonah being tossed overboard, and then the Lord covered him with a great fish already prepared. Used him as kind of like a prayer closet, submarine, whatever you want to call it, for 3 days. And also as a type of Christ. And also turned out to be proof that this was not fable. Some people thought it was a fable, this thing about Jonah. And then Jesus said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man is going to be in the belly. They said, oh, Jesus said it must be real. All right. I don't know whether to read this or tell it. I'll start out telling it. 37th chapter of Genesis. Joseph. He's his father's favorite. He got some strikes against him. He's a little bit of a tattletale. His dad gave him a coat of many colors. Didn't give any of the other sons that. And he was a dreamer. And he told his dreams, and they didn't like it. His older brothers, he had 10 older brothers and one younger brother. The two youngest boys, Joseph and Benjamin, were born of the woman that his dad, Jacob, really loved. And so there was some favoritism to Joseph, right? That coat of many colors, right? That coat of many colors was part of the jealousy that his brothers had, because it was an emblem of the God, of the favoritism that his dad shown toward him. They were upset about the dreams, too. Probably not too pleased that he told something on them. They were supposed to be doing something. He told something about it. And then he's going to check on them. And they say, here comes his dream. Let's kill him. What happened? the coat of many colors, which was part of the jealousy. Probably not the biggest part, but part of the jealousy, in a sense, saved his life. Because that gave them an idea to do something other than kill him. Let's not kill him. Let's take this coat of many colors and put animal's blood on it. And let's show it to our father. And he's going to think he's dead. And we'll just sell him into slavery and let him go on down his merry way into Egypt. We'll never have to hear from him again. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. But that coat of many colors that his dad gave him, that was part of the jealousy, ended up covering him because it gave them a way of dealing with this conspiracy to kill their little brother, hallelujah, that they found palatable. Because Reuben, just the oldest, just didn't want to kill him. He had some guilt from some stuff he had done in chapter 36. So, covered, uncovered, Joseph sold into slavery. And you know what? Every one of us has either been uncovered or felt uncovered. Every one of us has been fatherless or felt fatherless. And the Lord specializes. He will take care of us when we are in that position. He will cover us. He will father us. There's hope for the fatherless. There's hope for the ones that feel fatherless. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the miracle, believe it or not, often comes when we are exposed, when we are uncovered, when we are in most need of the great physician. Hallelujah. And what you went through was not for just for nothing. Hallelujah. You are a candidate to minister in that area where you were uncovered, where you were exposed, where you were hurt, where you felt abandoned, where you felt mistreated, when you felt like you failed everybody. Praise God. It's in that area, praise God, that God can cover you the most and cause that to be a stepping stone for you to be a blessing to someone else. Although you never dreamed of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We're down to our fourth point. Let's see. Oof. And I got several scriptures on this. Okay, so here we are. Mankind, people, sinners, fallen because of Adam's sin. A holy God required holiness of us. We couldn't make it. We couldn't obey the external commandments. We didn't have the power to live right, to follow the law. Hallelujah. We're in a predicament. Mankind is in a predicament. And then here comes Jesus. That while we were yet sinless, God commended his love toward us. Hallelujah. And that Christ died for the ungodly. What does that mean? Christ, the miracle of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for the ungodly. For the uncovered. There would never have been any reason for Jesus to come if we could bear our own burdens, if we could live holy in our own strength. We had to be uncovered for the blood to cover us. Hallelujah. We are covered by the blood. Let me give you the four points again, then I'm gonna give you these scriptures. And maybe tonight I won't hold y'all over. Praise God. We're at least twice as covered. I gave three examples of that. Two of Noah's sons covered him. when he was naked, and one didn't. When the angels were flying around in the vision on Isaiah 6, four of the wings were covered, two were not. The two that were exposed allowed them to fly. The miracle took place at the pace of being uncovered. And then the third example, using this mathematical idea of being twice as covered, is when the angels got kicked out of heaven, the demons got kicked out. One third was kicked out. And I'm not a math whiz like some of these engineers on this call, but to me, that means that two thirds were not kicked out. Two thirds is twice as much as one third, and we're twice as covered, as uncovered. You know, when we are hurt, you know, that gets all the tension. If I stub my toe on my way out of here, although I'm feeling good tonight by God's grace, I won't be able to think of nothing else until I get home. Oh, my toe is hurting. But we have to learn how to stop and think that we're always more covered than we are uncovered, no matter how rough it gets. And when we don't know what's going on, there's a promise, hallelujah, that covers us. And there's a promise that covered Mephibosheth that he probably never knew about, that David and his father Jonathan had a covenant. And basically it went like this: if I die first, you're going to take care of my family and kids and not, you know, not kill them because of some kind of ambition for the throne, and vice versa. It turned out that Jonathan died first, and Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, who was lame, in a place of no communication, uncovered, fatherless, grandfatherless, hallelujah, and David took him in. Remember that song? I was once lost in sin, and Jesus took me in. Oh, hallelujah. I was once uncovered, and the blood of Jesus covered me. I added that part. All right, Matthew 26, 28. And these are going to be excerpted. They're not necessarily going to be full passages. Verse 28, Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission, the washing away of sin. I got your sins covered. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, hallelujah. I'm covered by the blood and his grace. Ephesians 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, what do you mean, uncovered, are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1, 14, talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying the flesh, verse 14, this is what I'm getting to. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, the spotless, blemishless Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. All right, I got more. Hebrews 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. This is a new and living way. We can't keep doing what we have been doing, which he have consecrated us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, the veil of his flesh, the covering of his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful. that promise. Isn't that good news? He's faithful. Hallelujah. People will leave you. People, you know, you. I love people, but they'll leave you. He is faithful, that promise. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. First Peter, we're getting close. I'm almost done with this scripture. Well, I got about 5-6 more verses. First Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 18-19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, you were uncovered, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You got covered by the blood of Jesus. All right. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is the last one. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Covered and uncovered. There have been times in my life where I was uncovered. Hallelujah. And I needed God to cover me. I was weak, and I needed his strength to be perfected in my weakness. I felt fatherless. My dad might have still been alive during those times, but I felt fatherless, hallelujah, and he fathered me. He covered me. He took care of me. What I have gone through, what you have gone through, I don't even have to know about it. Hallelujah. I don't have to know about it to tell you with assurance, huh? It wasn't for nothing. That whatever the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good. That he's working that together for your good. It's hard for us to understand why we go through so much pain. Hallelujah. Y'all have all heard somebody said, I won't sing that beautiful song, I won't complain. And then the part that gets me every time is, why so much pain? Praise God. Because sometimes we ask that without asking it. Somewhere in our spirit has lodged the question. And we don't know the answer. Hallelujah. But sometimes God allows the pain to put us to the point of knowing how much we need him, to get to the point of getting to our knees, to get to the point of dependency. Because sometimes we think we can do it on our own. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's just the way it has fallen out. It is what God has allowed. But whatever God has allowed, when even it is not good, not only doesn't feel good, when it's actually not good, he knows how to work it together for our good. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we're covered and uncovered. And at that place of uncovering is often the point of the miracle. Jesus in the cross, Jesus on the tomb. He was completely naked on that cross. They wrapped him up and they covered. And guess what? When they came to investigate the tomb, the covering was just laying there. And the face cloth was just folded neatly off at a different part of the tomb. What happened? Somewhere in the miracle of resurrection, Jesus got uncovered to cover us with resurrection power. Questions, comments, brothers and sisters. Brief testimonies. You know, anybody on the call ever felt uncovered? Or can you think of a biblical character that was uncovered? Anybody? I talked about Jonah thrown overboard. That's about as uncovered as you can get. You got to unmute. If you're saying something, Elder Brasher, you need to unmute. I guess you're not. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I preached this sermon. You've heard me talk about this. I probably, if you've been here some years, you've heard me talk about this once or twice from this topic, covered and uncovered. But I preached it before I became a pastor at Suffolk and Bishop Larry Smith's church years ago, 20 plus years ago. And I mean, God gave it to me. I never heard it preached before. I didn't get this from a commentary or anything. And I preached with all I had, you know what I'm saying? All of my infantile wisdom, I preached it. And as far as I could tell, they heard me, praise the Lord. 15 years later, a young lady who had been there saw me at another church event. And she said, I remember when you came out to Dixon and preached. I can't remember if Dixon or Franklin, because he had started out in Franklin, came out to our church and preached covered and uncovered. And that was a blessing to me. I said, okay, thank you. It meant something to me, first said. Anybody else, questions, comments?
Praise the Lord.
Mr. Perkins. Whoever.
Go ahead.
Whoever.
Go ahead, Elder.
Went first.
Okay, whoever was first, I was going to let him go because it looked like he had trouble getting off mute. But
yeah,
whoever
I'm having else, trouble.
Okay.
I'm having
who
trouble
else was
with
talking?
My laptop and my cursor.
Well, praise the Lord. I would just like praise to say Lord. I would just like to say that was a wonderful lesson. And I'm sure a lot of us can remember times that we have really gone through and you feel alone. But I just thank God for the knowledge of knowing who he is, you know, who has to come and remind us, no matter what we're going through, you know, that he's always there. He is our covering. And so I just want to thank God for that, because he gives us all our unique individual testimonies. And some of those that you go through, you know, I don't know how I would make it through. And some of the things that I've gone through, some of you may think that would be impossible for you, but I just thank God for being that universal covering. No matter what we go through, no matter where we are, no matter what, there's nothing that he can't do. So I just thank God for that lesson and just reminder that, you know, he is our covering no matter what we go through, even if we don't feel him. You know, we reach out, we feel like we're just reaching at the air. You know, we feel like nothing's there. You know, God is saved us and his spirit resides in us, and whenever we need him, you know, we just call on him and he's there. So I just thank God for the wonderful lesson and the wonderful topic.
Thank you, Sister Brasher. Elder Brasher, can you get on mute now?
Okay, well thank you for your patience.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. Yeah, all the scriptures are very good, and I'm going to go back and read those, and good examples in all those cases, Pastor Perkins. Sometimes the blessing, like you said, can be in being uncovered. The blessing in being uncovered, like the scripture says, no man should think more of himself than he ought, more highly of themselves. Than they ought. And when the Lord reveals ourselves and how undone and blemishes in our character, and things that have not been dealt with, that the Lord opens up and shows us that these things, this is you, and when he shows it to us, we see the things that we haven't dealt with and we need to deal with. And especially in view, like, for example, Isaiah, seeing the holiness and the magnificence. But really, that whole scene revealed the holiness and all the glory of his holiness and his angels, seraphims, were continually magnifying his holiness. And that word of the seraphims means fiery ones, or flaming ones. These are flaming angels, which represents the purity of God. But and then in contrast, when he saw the Lord reveal himself, because he couldn't see himself as long as he was with King Uzziah, which may have been his uncle or he was related to him, but he was seeing the glory of a man and he couldn't see himself. But when the Lord revealed and showed himself and how he could see just how sinful and how much he was falling short of God's glory, you know, no matter what, because he came from sort of a royal class, but he saw that he was falling way short. But that uncovering, and a lot of times we can get uncovered. And I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm going to use the example you used of Joseph. One thing about that I've read and seen about you, I never saw any negativity. I never saw any resentment towards God, towards his brothers. You know, no negativity. He always, I think what kept him going was that he held on to the dream that the Lord so vividly revealed to him, and at some point had to see and understand why. And when his brothers came to him for food, you know, it was a famine. Brothers came to him. And let me try to see if I can state this. Joseph's brothers were uncovered when he uncovered and revealed who he was.
That's right. That's right.
They were completely uncovered when they realized that this is our brother who is the second in command of Egypt, who we sold into Egypt, and we're coming begging for food. Matter of fact, he sent for us to come. And how his character was so much more outstanding than theirs was, in that he told them not to even don't be grieved or don't be angry at yourselves, you know, because you sold me, you the one who sold me here, but don't be mad and be upset and with yourselves, because it was all God's doing, the forgiveness and the generosity that uncovered him even more. Not only did he forgive him, but all the generosity, as though nothing had even happened. And they saw the dream unfold, and they could see the revelation and what he had told them. Everything's uncovered now. You know, the conclusion of the dreams that the Lord gave Joseph as a young boy, now everybody can see it's uncovered, and then they can see how outstanding he is compared to whatever they were. You know, that did not compare to Joseph. None of them compared to Joseph, and they could not have been used to do and to reach the heights that Joseph reached, and it was because of his outstanding character. So, but anyway, thank you. Uncovered. Yeah, I've been uncovered before. A person showing how outstanding their character is, you know, maybe me holding a grudge or me holding something, and they were absolutely unaware and had nothing like that in their heart. And then when they showed me so much generosity, what could I do? I'm uncovered. I didn't even tell them I was uncovered. you can't heap coals of fire on people by doing and speaking so good and so highly and doing such good things, you know. So I do appreciate the Lord, appreciate your Bible class. And I can reflect on things in my life, and I can see the connection with all of these scriptures. And I do appreciate it, Pastor Perkins. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Elder. Thank you. Anybody else?
Pastor Perkins.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I'm enjoying the lesson. It's been so good. And, you know, oftentimes I have felt uncovered, but even in the uncovered, knowing that I'm covered. So I know that's weird. And, you know, like, how do you feel uncovered and covered at the same time? Well, it's because of the knowledge of God and the faith that you have. So even though I might be in a position that right now I'm feeling vulnerable or, and sometimes for me, it's probably for my own lack of something. Like, for instance, if my bills weren't paid like they should have, and maybe that was even my fault, right? So that's like an uncovering, because I'm suffering through that. But yet still, I'm knowing that God is going to make a way. He's going to make a way somehow. When the children were little, and we didn't have very much coming in, we were in school, I had those four little babies, I never stopped believing that God was going to make a way. So even pushing through the hard times and the struggle, but yet believing that it's going to be all right. Wow. So I feel like that's when I was at a place of, I was felt uncovered, but knew that I was covered. Isn't that something? I can feel an uncovered territory, but yet you know that God got your back. So even working, I remember as a principal, sometimes we would get really tough and it would seem like we had people that were against you. But even walking through that valley, I knew God had my back. So I was uncovered in like people, what people thought. But in my heart and in my soul and in my mind, I knew that God had me covered.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. And that's the story of Noah. He was covered and uncovered all at the same time. Covered by two sons, uncovered by the other. One looked at his negative and not only looked at his negative, thought it was something worth telling his brothers about. And then they came in backwards, holding clothing, making sure that they didn't look on their father's nakedness. Hallelujah. So, and my point was, we're at least twice as covered as we are uncovered. And, you know, it's just hard. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. I remember Bishop Austin did an awesome lesson a few Januaries ago. And he said he was going through something. It was January of 2022. He was going through something in his family. And he said, I know I'm learning some lessons from this. I know God is going to take me high and bless me. But I'd rather have this situation have gone another way rather than learn the lessons. And then I spoke up at this little session we were having with the pastors and the first lady. Well, no, just the pastors, just the brothers, really. The pastors and the men ministers. And I said, yeah, Jesus said, Father, if this cup would pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will. He knew that he was going to be uncovered on that cross, exposed, hands spread out, not even able to cover his nakedness. But it was because of the joy that was set before him. He despised the shame. Hallelujah. But he knew better than anybody that ever walked the earth, hallelujah, that it was going to produce something. And it's hard for us to see what God's doing. Isn't it hard to go through something excruciating just because the Lord wants us to minister to other people in that situation? You know, you would, if you had a choice, would say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Here I am, send somebody else.
Pastor, I don't know if anybody else is missing it, but it sounds like you are coming in and out. Is anybody else getting that, or is that just me, my connection?
It sounds fine to me.
Okay.
Anybody else getting that?
I can speak a little loud.
Is everybody else getting it well? Because
I'm getting it well.
I'm getting it well.
I'm getting it well.
Coming clear for me.
It's your phone.
Something in your hearing is uncovered, but praise the Lord. I can project anywhere, because if my first lady don't hear me, if my queen don't hear me, I'm going to be all hurt and stuff. But yeah, God will allow you to go through something excruciating and then turn around and let you minister in that same area. You can't become a candidate for that. You become eligible for that. Because you're not just talking about something you read or something, some hearsay evidence. You can tell firsthand. You can tell how God brought you out of something that somebody else might be still in. And he will do it. And, you know, he doesn't waste our pain. He works it together for our good. Just like after feeding the 5,000, he said, gather up the fragments so nothing be lost. What you went through, although you can't figure it out why you went through it. You might not be able to understand why the pain was so intense. You might not be able to figure out how it got so low. Hallelujah. Or how you got so depressed, or how you got so lonely, or whatever, whatever, whatever. God is working it together for you. God is burnishing, hallelujah, your vessel of honor. Hallelujah. You're putting some extra polish on it so that you can be used by him in an authentic, powerful way, in a way that you probably would not have chosen, but his ways are not like our ways. Anybody else? Comments, questions, brief testimonies, prayer requests. Go ahead.
This is Sister Carol. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to say, you know, I agree with everybody what they said tonight on the line, and I enjoyed the lesson also too tonight. And I was thinking about Meshivatev. Sometimes, you know, I feel like that, you know, like I'm uncovered, you know, being in Lodabar, especially with my work situation, where my supervisor harassed me, then moved me to a position that's real, real hard for me and difficult for me and everything. But then, you know, then you come into the sanctuary and, you know, you get your covering, a message that you preach seemed like it was just the right message. When you go down there for prayer, seemed like God laid on you, you know, exactly what I need to hear and get encouragement. Like you read a scripture in the Bible and you get covered again because you feel like that scripture is for you and the Lord is moving in a mighty way. Or either somebody, you call somebody up and they encourage you more and they pray with you and every more. And that prayer that they pray over you, you know, and you pray with them, you know, it gives you strength and that's your covering. And you feel like, you know, like that song said, I feel like going on.
Amen. Thank you. Beautiful. Anybody else? Well, thank God the Brashers and the Maxwells are back. We trust that God blessed them during the time they were away from us. Anybody else?
Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I got kicked out. So I think it was on my end that was messing up. So I missed some of it. But
Okay.
Thank you.
Was somebody going to say something? I thought.
Yeah, this is me, Sister Carol. You know, I thought about, you know, the sanctuary itself is in the covering, because it's like one scripture in the Bible where he said when he was having a hard time, but he said, when I went into the sanctuary, and then he said, I saw that their end. I forgot, you know, which one it was saying it, but just the sanctuary itself, the church itself is a mighty, mighty covering.
Amen. And of course, that's where the devil wants to attack. And so we have to be prayed up. Hallelujah. We ain't playing that. We ain't putting up with that. All right. Anybody else? Question, comments?
This is just me again. I want to say, everybody, thank you for praying for me and everything. When I went to see the heart doctor and everything. So far, my test came back negative. To God be the glory. They did like an echocardiogram where they look at the structure of the heart and everything. And I got the test back. I got the nurse called me back and said that that was all negative. And I go back to see the cardiologist again on the 6th. So thank you for the prayers. They working. Could have been a different report. But God, by his grace and his mercy, it was a positive report.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Anybody else speak up, because we're going to get ready to pray. But I want everybody who wants to talk to have an opportunity. Go ahead.
I want to thank God for his covering. Stan's bone biopsy came back clean, so the cancer is clear. So I just want to thank God and praise him for, you know, for all he's doing, for all he's done, and you know, all he's continuing to do. I just love God, and I just don't know, you know, life existing, you know, without his covering. So I just thank God for somewhere I know I can go and turn everything over to, and I know he's a prayer answering God.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Presh. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Brother Vic.
How you doing, Pastor?
That
was beautiful. I've definitely been uncovered on some things. No matter how much you stay in the Word of God and pray, God is going to show you if you got something in you that need to come up out of you. Glory to God. He showed me that I've been, the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me, let me know that sometimes Brother Vic can be very overprotective about the ones he loves. And he let me know, hey, you don't have vengeance. Vengeance is God's, not mine, says the Lord. And then, of course, let's keep it real. I've got a little upset and off thing, and then the Holy Spirit told me, you remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you know, which is one of my favorite scriptures, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, body, mind, and soul. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, trust him, and he shall direct your path. So that's what the Lord God is doing with me, to direct my paths. And then hearing the word tonight, as usual, always touches my heart. But I just want to give God all praise, honor, and glory no matter what I go through, because his ways are higher than mine. I might not understand it. Ain't no might to it. I don't understand everything. He might bless me to understand something, but sometimes God's so smart, I'm like, man, my mind is blown. So that's like my thing that he's showing me, opening me up, put me in that spot like, I blessed you, but you need to understand where that come from, and you need to trust in me. And I say, thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. So I give all praise, honor, and glory to God for all he do for me, whether I understand or not. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Vic. Powerful. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, Minister Maxwell.
I just want to thank God for his protection over the airways. and thank him for his goodness, and just ask everyone if they would to pray for my father-in-law, Michael Parks. He's in the hospital. I'm sorry, I'm really, really, really tired. But I think it looks like he's going to be all right, but just
praise God.
Need the covering of the Lord in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for that report, sister. Elder Brashear, if you would close us out and to remember Brother Michael Parks, which is Brother Maxwell's dad, and of course you're going to remember Brother Stan and any other prayer requests as we go forward, and sometimes you have to when you're praying publicly like this, you have to do a catch-all prayer to make sure you get the prayer request. And then, you know, privately, we take more time. We take more time with these prayers and sometimes have a list of all the names before us. But if you would, Elder, lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for another day that you've brought us through. We thank you for bringing us to this point in the week. And Lord God, you know everything that was going to take place, Lord, throughout the world, throughout this country, throughout our community, Lord God, in our personal lives. Lord God, you know, Lord God, what's going to take place throughout the end of the week and the end of the year. So, Lord God, we thank you for your covering. As David said in Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is my fortress and my refuge and my fortress. In him shall I trust. Lord, all of our trust and confidence is in you. Our security in life is in you, in our relationship with you. Lord God, in our dependence, and Lord God, the confidence that we have that no matter what we go through, you're with us, you're God with us in every situation, Lord God. And we turn all of these things, the burdens, the heaviness, Lord God, whatever it is, if there be any anxiety that we're going through, uncertainty that we're going through, this creating a sort of an insecurity, Lord God, we're asking you, Lord, and we're turning it over to you, Lord God, because these things are beyond us. So many things in life, Lord God, are beyond us. We're asking you to work it out and work through these things and just to be our help every day. You have shown yourself to be faithful, and we thank you. Please remember, Lord, Brother Michael Parks, Brother Maxwell's father. You see what's going on in his body. Lord, by your stripes, Lord God, by your blood, Lord God, we're claiming healing.
Hallelujah.
We're claiming healing, Lord. Lord God, we know you're just as real today as when you walk through the streets of Jerusalem, healing every manner of sickness and disease. And we're calling upon and we're invoking your name, Lord, over him and your blood over him. And Lord God, we're looking for you to raise him up. We're praying a prayer of faith. And Lord God, we're looking for you to raise him up with a great testimony that I was sick, but the Lord touched me and healed my body and raised me up and got me going again. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, in advance, Lord God, for his victory. Please remember Pastor Frank Bell, Lord God, who unexpectedly, Lord, had that heart surgery, the heart problem that led to the heart surgery. We thank you, Lord God, for the gradual healing, and we're looking for him to be completely, Lord, delivered enough to come out of the hospital very soon. Lord God, he's our friend of bread of heaven. And we, Lord God, we're asking you to work on that family and on him in your on his behalf. And Lord God, we're asking you to remember his wife that's really going through to take care of him. Strengthen her, Lord God, strengthen her, Lord God, day by day. She's been loyal and faithful at that hospital every day, Lord, so we thank you. Remember all your people, Lord, all the prayers, Lord God, that have been asked. Lord God, all the prayers that have been answered, we thank you and we give you glory and we give you honor, Lord, for all, Lord, that you have done and, Lord God, that you continue to do, Lord God, in our lives on a daily basis. But we see and what we don't see, we're believing in you. We thank you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very anointed prayer. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Love you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, family.
Good night, everybody.
Love y'all.
Good night, everybody. Love you.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.